Hello and welcome to the Payback Pod, your new secret weapon in the e-commerce marketplace, hosted by Cha-Ching. This isn't just any podcast. This is the playbook for the big leagues. I'm Joel Williams, and I'm here to walk you through the minefield of online retail. We're going to get real with the industry heavyweights, decode the jargon with advertising aces, and break down the barriers to your success. One episode at a time. We have the pleasure of hosting Marco, Technical Director at Vagabond Digital, trusted by the UK's leading D2C e-commerce brands. Vagabond Digital is at the forefront of innovation in the industry, with his skill set ranging from SEO to PPC and beyond. Marco has successfully scaled customer acquisition strategies across many channels. Hey Marco, welcome to the pod. Would love to hear a bit more about, you know, your background as a growth and performance marketing manager and director, and how that's influenced your perspective on the current e-commerce trends.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Going back on sort of my history and experience, I'm originally from South Africa. And I started off as a hardware technician. I qualified as a Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer. So I had that as a background. I worked for ADT Security as their head administrator, going around South Africa to all the provinces and setting up their control rooms. And then I sort of moved from that into a role which was with Micros Fidelia ordering systems, online ordering systems and hotel bookings and all of that kind of stuff with hospitality. I managed the inventory system. And then from there, I moved into tourism, and I worked for Gauteng Tourism for the 2010 World Cup. Nice. So that was quite interesting for that year. And then I left and came to the UK, and I started off as a PPC exec, making coffee for everyone. And I worked my way up through the agency, becoming the PPC manager of one of the companies. And then I moved off to All Beauty, where I worked my way up to the performance director and looked after all the channels there. And now I'm with Vagabond Digital as the technical director, so I'm assisting them with all of their performance side of things and all the agency stuff that goes along with it, you know. So, yeah.
Nice.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's my background. And then, you know, going into the e-commerce side of things, like you mentioned, it's definitely evolved. Coming from South Africa to here was a very big change. There was hardly anything online over there. And coming here and ordering food that comes to your door with Iceland or whoever it is was like really cool. And we were like, this is awesome. And
other supermarkets do exist.
Yeah. So it was really weird. And Amazon, and it was just like these things. We just started ordering stuff online. It was really cool. And where we are now, I'm sure we're going to be discussing AI. I think that's going to be a big thing going forward with e-commerce and everything online and even offline as well now.
And I mean, it wouldn't be a podcast in this day and age without AI, would it? It's everything that everybody's talking about. And yeah, so Marco, it seems like you've had, you know, quite the journey really, going, you know, from South Africa across over here to the UK. And I mean, outside of the weather, I mean, why were you kind of driven to the UK? And you know, we'd love to know a bit more about the current state of affairs in e-commerce in South Africa versus the UK.
I guess my journey was sort of pushed by starting a family. Yeah. You know, when you, or at the time, we were, you know, just my wife and I living together. And then once we had our child, as we know, you know, SA isn't the safest place. And a lot of things happened that were really close to home. You know, I was held up at gunpoint and all my, you know, at the age of 21 and my car stolen, everything, and, you know, break-ins and houses and shootings and all that kind of stuff. And it just got really close to home. You know, my father was Italian, so I've got an Italian passport. My wife's British. So we thought, you know, we were trying to get into Australia, but it just took so long.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, let's go to the UK, had a visit, visited her family. And 6 months later, we moved. And it's been really good, especially for family. Yes, the weather's not great, but you know, there's other things to life. You know, I just didn't want to have something, you know, sitting over me going, you know, I should have done this, I should have done that, or whatever. So that was our motivating decision. And from a career point of view, it's just catapulted me way ahead. So going back to the e-commerce side of things, like I said, with SA, things were sort of really slow there, and Europe and USA and everyone else is just so far ahead, that especially back then, which was what, 13 years ago. So things have picked up there. Amazon can't seem to crack South Africa, but they've got a thing called not on buy, but it's like another purchasing side, which is doing really well.
Yeah.
So that seems to be working, but I don't know. Amazon just can't seem to crack it. Also, their deliveries postal service basically doesn't exist. So yeah. There's a lot of carriers there as well. So there's a lot of different things that are influencing e-commerce there. But I think there's still opportunity there. I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah.
So,
and you've obviously met Brad Barrett, who's Managing Director of Strategic Partnerships for Chuching.
He played for the Sharks, which is the team I supported in South Africa.
Do you get an autograph from him? Or?
No, not yet. I actually got a Sharks ball from one of the games with some autographs. So next time I see him, I should actually bring it and he can maybe sign it for
definitely.
Me as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I mean, I'm sure he will. But he's obviously based over there in South Africa. And, you know, it's definitely a part of our kind of growth plan for probably towards the end of this year, if not early next year, is to kind of open up some offices over there and start to onboard kind of e-commerce brands over there. We're already working with Freedom of Movement, which sells in South Africa and also in the UK. So there's some good opportunities for brands to access kind of the UK market by working with Chuching as well. And you know, having Brad on board helps, you know.
Yeah, definitely. No, he's definitely someone to have there.
Definitely.
No, he's a good guy.
And I mean, outside of that, I guess circling back to you know, your role with kind of UK e-commerce retailers and I guess yourself and the wider kind of Vagabond business obviously specialise in revenues from 50 million to 120 million. You know, what were some of the key strategies that you implemented in achieving such remarkable growth with some of your brands? I mean, All Beauty, Fragrance Direct just springs to mind.
Yeah. So from that side of things, you know, they do have a wide range of products and brands, you know, over 500 brands, you know, products ranging in some of the feeds that we would use on Google and other platforms range between 8,000 to 12,000 and then also different countries that they expanded to. So there was a lot of opportunity to try and test a lot of things there. And, you know, when I did work there, they only really had Google Ads as a platform and they were relying a lot on that. And then what I did as I went in was try and diversify that and try and spread the wings, you know, try and incorporate Microsoft Ads. It's not as big, but there's still opportunity there, you know, and marketplaces, things like that. You know, moving to Vagabond, you know, all of those services are with us. And, you know, looking at PPC, paid social, creative, organic social, UGC as well, influencer marketing, all of these things are more prevalent now because, you know, PPC was just sort of one siloed area that you'd work in and it was sort of diminishing returns. You just have an audience that wouldn't grow, so you weren't feeding the funnel from any other things. So looking after SEO, building that up as well, getting a presence there, looking on price comparison sites, you know, Amazon, things like that for outlets and affiliates, you know, so trying to really spread out because of their offering is so big. And yeah, and getting them on to Ching as well.
Obviously.
What else?
And I mean, one of the key USPs of Ching is obviously in the event of a return, we give, you know, the full CPA back. I think the average return rates for beauty are probably slightly lower, around 7%, just given that price point. But that is obviously a key kind of USP for us and is a reason why, you know, some of the 6,000 advertisers that we work with have come to the platform. So, yeah, phenomenal to hear that diversification of platforms is definitely something that All Beauty are looking to do. And, you know, we'd love for Chuching to be, you know, at the forefront of that as well. So, you know, that's great news. And you touched upon there, you know, content and I guess social content as well and social commerce. From your kind of perspective, you know, what are some of the most significant trends shaping the e-commerce industry in 2024?
I think from that point of view, I might sort of delve into my daughter who's now growing up and bring some of that into it.
Yeah, but of course.
From what I'm seeing, there's you know, a lot of user-generated content like we're seeing and a lot of people jumping onto the TikTok shop. What I'm seeing is people are discovering products via this channel. So it's via mobile and the social commerce. So I think that would definitely be a growing area within the realm of online. So going back to my daughter, she's starting to discover TikTok, Snapchat, all these channels.
Yeah.
Her friends are chatting. They're discovering Shein and Temu and
and
all these brands. So they're chatting. And then I'm just thinking, you know, there's this whole age group at that point. And this is just at one school in year 10.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, year 9s talking 10, 11. and, you know, sixth form. And if you think that's 4 years of kids in one school plus the whole county, then you look at the whole country and then you go around the world, that's a lot of people that are going to start earning their money soon because they're starting to doing work experience and that. So I see these people moving up, and they are not like old school where we would probably typically buy from a brand and be brand loyal.
Yeah.
And you would say, well, I'm buying my stuff from here because I know them and this is where I buy my stuff. Even if it's £20 more,
yeah,
I'm going to buy. They aren't exposed to ads. I say to her, where are you finding this stuff? And she's like, well, I said, is it an ad or what? She goes, no, no, no. Someone said it was, this is really good and they've got like 10,000 followers and this one's got so many of this and everyone's talking at school about it. So I think that's something to look at, you know, going forward. So these people are coming up. They're going to start earning their own money. They won't be asking mom and dad, you know, can I buy this? And, you know, they'll be making their own decisions. So I think they are being exposed to products a different way to how we were. And that's through all this user-generated content and content creators and all of that stuff. So I think that's a big thing to look out for.
I was one of the early hires at TikTok in the UK, right? And I remember when we were there, we started a quite controversial kind of slogan for TikTok for Business, which was "Don't make ads, make TikToks." I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting that this kind of strategy now has kind of come into fruition, so much so that it's had an impact on, you know, people in year 10 in school, right? So I certainly see that being a huge kind of element of growth, and that creativity angle is always going to drive kind of conversions because individuals are going to be inspired by those kind of influencers and creators that certainly align with their target audience as well. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And have you got any kind of particular campaigns that you've seen or you've worked on in particular that have kind of addressed that kind of influencer style strategy and combined that with performance?
What we found with Fragrance Direct, with a social side of things and building that activity and paid social as well, we developed some of the work around that where we saw when you were sort of listing products and showing products and how they use them, and that sort of had good viewership and interaction. But the ones that sort of really took off were sort of like guess the scent kind of thing. So approaching people in the street, guessing the scent, and you could win that kind of thing. So it was very, you know, on the spot kind of thing and natural, and, you know, it wasn't sort of like rehearsed kind of thing. So I think that's where these youngsters are starting to see that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, they're taking part in it and say, oh, I saw so-and-so on this and whatever. So I think that worked quite well for us. So that was something that was quite good. So, some really good viewership there. Yeah.
Were you out on the streets doing that content?
No. That was all up in Manchester. I don't think if I approached someone with a perfume bottle, they'd be too keen. So, yeah. It's weird to think that I'm sort of heading up All Beauty as the performance director there, but I don't really look like I use the beauty products, but yeah.
And I guess coming on to obviously the biggest topic that every man and his dog is talking about at the moment, AI. I mean, what advancements in technology such as AI, machine learning, what have those kind of advancements had on the e-commerce industry? And I guess particularly on the customer experience, like have you got any kind of notable examples there from any of your clients?
I wouldn't say we've got, you know, an exact example that we've implemented using AI, but we do implement and use AI for more insights and processes and things like that. And we are experimenting for some of the things coming up. So we are working on that this year, and we are putting a lot of effort into that and really pushing that kind of thing. But just looking at, you know, from what I see with AI, I think personalization will continue to grow with AI. It will, I think, also maybe shopping might become more immersive with augmented reality and VR as well, as those technologies become more available. So we're seeing people, you can try the paint on a wall and see what it looks like in your house, makeup, things like that. You know, there's all of these things so you can try before you buy.
Yeah.
And I think that would also help with businesses' return rates, because you're actually seeing the product on your face or whatever you're trying, or a bed in that room will fit, or things like that. So I think that will definitely help with return rates. But I think AI and personalization, you know, we're seeing chatbots working really well. Klarna, I think a few weeks ago, released some information about how well their chatbot was doing, and it could, you know, it was doing the job of like 770 people nonstop 24 hours a day in all the different languages, and saving and cutting time down by nearly half of the response. So it's some really cool stuff. But it's also scary to think that this technology is out there. And, you know, it's everyone thinks it's coming for my job. And, you know, the thing is, AI, it's here, it's going to stay. And I think you need to sort of embrace it and try and work with it. It will probably take a lot more jobs, but, you know, it's you know, I don't know what else we can do because it's, you know, you can't stop it. It's been unleashed.
Yeah. And what about a kind of AI from like a marketing perspective? Obviously, there's some tools out there that look at kind of true profitability and, you know, real-time ROAS. Obviously, that's one of the key kind of elements that Chuching aligns to as a business is not paying for clicks, not paying for impressions, only paying for completed orders. And therefore, you know, we'd be curious to know, yes, it's definitely a big kind of player from a customer experience perspective, but equally from the brand's perspective, we'd be curious to know kind of if you've implemented any similar strategies from a brand perspective.
From that side, I think when you incorporate AI like that, when you mentioned, you know, where there's sort of a sweet spot where that CPA would be or the CPO, whatever you're working towards, I think leveraging that and machine learning to help, you know, analyze the data and find those areas that could, you know, produce an area where a strategy could be made or a plan that could be adjusted, and then incorporating further AI to produce what could be coming out of that. So it could be, you know, incorporate whatever. It could even be inventory management, all of that kind of stuff, and segmenting those products for you and just moving around. We can see how platforms are already adopting this. And how AI is being brought into, you know, Google Ads and suggesting all these kind of things, and how it would work. So, it's just an open area for AI. I think it could go into anything. It could do, you know, whatever you want it to do. You just got to get the process right and plan it correctly. So, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I mean, a lot of people are using it now for customer acquisition strategies, aren't they? I mean, if you look at the early signs of programmatic advertising in general, right, like that is by default AI. So when, you know, people are coming around and saying, hey, use AI in your marketing strategy, it's like, this has been around for bloody 20 years, you know. it's interesting to see particularly businesses that are hunting that kind of VC money using AI as a tactic to probably stem some more investment for themselves, really. So I guess moving on quite nicely into, you know, customer acquisition strategies, we've spoken a little bit there about, you know, some of the tactics that All Beauty and Fragrance Direct have kind of used. You know, how do you anticipate the role of personalization, you know, in the evolving world of e-commerce?
I guess it depends on what the business would want out of that and how that would, you know, adjust to the audience that's coming in. So, you know, you'd have to obviously analyze the data, see what's coming in, and then, you know, apply those to those kind of cohorts or whatever that might be. I guess you could even get so granular that it could be personalized for every single person because, you know, the systems can do so much so quickly now. You probably get to that point where every person would have a unique experience rather than grouping them into buckets of people that tend to do this because the data says that.
Yeah, it's interesting. From a vagabond perspective, you know, we talk a little bit about data there. You're obviously a data-driven marketer. You know, how important do you see kind of data analytics and insights as part of that kind of e-commerce strategy? Are there any key takeaways that you do when segmenting that data, particularly looking at, you know, that first-party data element?
Yeah, so for data for us, especially, you know, looking at something like All Beauty and Fragrance Direct, because there's so much to look at, we definitely do segment the products and try and enrich the products as well with any internal data. So if they've got margin data or stock on hand, things like that, days in hand, you know, we try and supplement that in and try and utilize that in our acquisition as well. So it becomes very segmented, but it also, you know, opens up a lot of other areas that you could potentially do things. And it doesn't just mean that you can do it in one channel. It will then open up things for CRM and other areas. You know, it could surface certain data sets that would suggest this would be better on a different channel because it might work better there, or this might work somewhere else, or let's just create more content around this and build up the interest. So when we see that with our data, and, you know, we do use AI to segment kind of things like that and break out these areas and try and give us a steer of what to take advantage of. And then we'll go on to that, and then we'll build a plan and a strategy around that, you know, and present it, and then we'll go from there.
Do you work with any partners like LiveRamp or ZeoTap? Have you heard of these guys?
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah. I only say I used to work in a company called ZeoTap, and they take the first-party data of a brand and basically give you a full 360 understanding of that individual based upon the apps they use, purchase intent signals they've seen. And it's quite a good way of getting a holistic understanding of who your customer is. And obviously then you can positively and negatively target against those kind of key key points. So, yeah it's interesting. I guess what advice would you give companies, you know, looking to leverage data for decision making and to uncover opportunities for growth?
I think you need to be sort of specific in what you want to achieve out of that. Yeah. So, you know, going in and just, you know, saying, I just want to see all the highest margin products or whatever, that might be fine, but maybe they're not actually being searched for. So you could have a high margin product being listed, but there might not be searches. So you'd have to have, you know, have more of a holistic view across the business to understand what's going on. And then trying to utilize that data in the different areas that you'd think it could work best. So I think, you know, going forward, you know, definitely leverage AI and machine learning as much as you can to give you that kind of insight and to get the heavy lifting out of the way so that you can focus on the strategies and the planning and moving forward. I definitely think creative testing is one thing. So yes, you can have audiences, but a lot of agencies I see now are doing a lot of creative testing and not really looking at audiences as much as they used to. So we might be seeing, because that might be the change where people are moving up, that are experiencing or being exposed to the TikTok shops and discovering products like that. You know, the audience is quite different to what, you know, might be a purchase intent person that would be browsing the site. So, I'd be looking at around those things.
Very interesting. Oh, nice. And then, I guess just general kind of points really on the future of e-commerce. Have you got any kind of interesting kind of stats that you've seen, maybe from other vendors? I know a few people have mentioned Snapchat having a resurgence recently.
From my point of view, I think it would be, you know, I guess AI is, again, it's just going to be incorporated into everything that we're going to be doing. And, you know, to think that at this point, it's the worst it's going to be.
Yeah.
To think from now, it's just going to be better. If you look at Midjourney back when it started, what it was creating was quite weird. And it's had 6 iterations and now it's creating photorealistic images. You wouldn't even know if it's a real photo or not.
Yeah.
And that advancement is just, you know, and that's just in graphics. And then you've got video now coming out with Sora creating video for you on the fly. And, you know, the big tech companies like NVIDIA creating bigger chips to process things, you know, 1,000 times quicker than what they were doing because they're seeing this massive uplift. And it's just, you know, that whole push because it's, you know, the power that's needed behind these things. I think, you know, that's going to, you know, really drive forward, you know, AI being utilized in more things. So we've got chatbots. You're probably going to have graphics all done for you now. You know, you're going to have videos created. You have scheduling. You can have processes where you can pull all the data off Twitter, as an example, see which your most engaging posts, feed that into a report, you know, and that's all done on the fly as and when you need it. So, you know, I think the options are endless. It's just how would you use these tools? And I think, you know, going forward, people need to get into AI and using it because, you know, that's I think that's the way forward. I don't think there's anything else that's going to happen unless you're a dog groomer. I don't see machines cutting dogs quite easily in the future.
Is there any final comments that you wanted to kind of share with our audience of brands, agencies and partners?
Keep testing creative as well. Embrace AI because it's going to be here to stay. And if you're not on it, get on Cha-Ching now.
Get ready for that cha-ching moment with every episode. Our signature sound that spells success. This is the Payback Pod, where we turn performance advertising into your powerhouse. Expect nothing less than the best kept secrets of e-commerce, insights that hit you where it matters, and stories from the front line of digital sales.